Now, Isaiah 55 is our study this evening. I'm entitling the message from the theme of these verses, Isaiah 55. And in reality, it's the theme of all the Word of God. It's the theme and heartbeat of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation full and free. Salvation full and free. He mentions there, come ye to the waters and bring no money. And then he says, buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk, without money, without price, without your morality, without your works. And the message there is, salvation's free. Salvation's a free gift of God. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely, you remember, freely give us all things? Salvation is by the free grace of God. Come, buy, and eat without money and without price. That's the economics of grace. Grace, free, free. People often say, well, there's nothing free. Salvation is to us. It costs the Lord Jesus Christ his life blood, but it's free to us because he paid the price for us. Knowing and understanding and believing the Lord Jesus Christ purchased salvation for us with his own blood, and that's exactly what he did. Knowing and understanding and believing that Christ accomplished all that God required of his covenant people, and he did, this makes salvation to everyone that believes the gospel certain, sure, everlasting, and free. Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is of faith that it might be by grace, that the promise might be sure to all the seed, the covenant people, the covenant people. In Isaiah 53, everybody's familiar with Isaiah 53, we see there the gospel provided through covenant sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sacrifice of the covenant. Wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. In Isaiah 54, we see the gospel promise of the covenant mercies. Look right across the page, Isaiah 54, verse 10. It's one of my favorite verses. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall depart, shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy on thee. It's a covenant of peace. He made peace for us with his own blood. In Isaiah 55, then we see the gospel promise of the covenant call. It's God's own gospel call. Oh, everyone that's thirsty, come. Come to Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ is to be proclaimed and preached without reservation, without hesitation, boldly and clearly unto all men everywhere. That's what our Lord said to his apostles before he left. Remember, go and preach the gospel to every creature. But it's only effectual and irresistible. It's only an effectual and irresistible call to his sheep, his elect, his chosen, as many as were ordained to eternal life. They believe the gospel. Remember our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they do follow. They do follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given his sheep ears to hear, eyes to see him, and a heart to believe the gospel. Now let's take a look at verse 1, 2, 3. And if we have time, verse 4 and 5. But I want to spend most of the time on verses 1, 2, and 3. Ho, everyone. Ho, everyone. That's like stop. Stop, look, and listen. Ho, everyone that is thirsty. He's talking here not about a natural thirst. Men, because of their sinful nature, they thirst after iniquity like the water. But here he's talking about a spiritual thirst, a spiritual need. Like the deer that panteth after the water brooks, David said, my soul pants after thee. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come. Now, if you're naturally thirsty, and you have a parched, dried mouth in a hot, barren land, and you see water, what are you going to do? You're going to come to the water. You're going to be driven there to the water hole because of your need of thirst. I often think of those pioneers that went out west, 1830 and following, over 500,000 people out that Oregon Trail. And when you get west of the Missouri and Mississippi and get out in that arid, dry land of the plains and the high desert and the mountains, boy, when you see water, you better take advantage of it. You better fill up the water barrels and water all the cows, because there's not much water there. But when you find that water hole, boy, you better come. They tell me even sometimes that a herd of horses or a herd of cows or cattle can smell that water. And if you're not real careful, they'll stampede to get to that water. They're anxious to get there. That's the way it is when the Lord gives us a spiritual thirst for Him. He is the water of life. Come ye to the waters. Come, come. Remember our Lord said in Matthew 11, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, come unto me and rest. Come unto me and rest. He that hath no money, no morality, no works, come and buy, eat, buy it, and then consume it. Like you do your groceries. You buy your groceries and you take them home and you eat them. Yea, come, he says again, come to me and I'll give you life. Buy wine, milk, water, wine, milk without money and without price. Without money and without price. Now, all men naturally desire to drink water. Nothing is more satisfying to the flesh than to quench our parched mouth with a cool drink of refreshing water. That's just so good, isn't it? When you have that thirst and you get that cold glass of water, or just even wet water that's cool. There's nothing that can satisfy our spiritual thirst or our spiritual desire and quench our parched soul but the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who is the living water. He is the living water. Proverbs 25 says this, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Cold water to a thirsty soul. That's good news to a sinner. The gospel is good news to those who are guilty. It's good news to those who need a Savior. What is the remedy for our spiritual thirst? The Lord said, come ye to the waters. Come ye to the waters. Come to the waters. Come and buy. Come and buy. Our Lord Jesus Christ, I was reading in the Revelation today, Revelation 21 verse 6, He said, it's done. I'm Alpha, Omega. Salvation's done. It's over. I've accomplished it. I'm Alpha, Omega, the beginning, the end. I'll give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of life freely. A fountain of life freely, freely, freely. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ without money and without price. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust nothing else, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else but the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Come to me, He said. In John chapter 7, our Lord said, in that last great day of the feast, the Lord stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living, living water. That's what He said to that woman at the well. You drink of that natural water, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of that water that I will give you, shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life in Him. Now, come to Him. Come to Him. Impossible without His grace. impossible without His calling, impossible to do apart from the sovereign grace of God. No man has the ability, even the want to or desire, to come to the true and living God apart from His drawing, saving power. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me. Draw him, ho, everyone that is thirsty. What a blessing it is to have a thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the water of life, the living waters. Come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's good news, is it not? This is the economics of grace. Salvation by His sovereign grace. Without money, without gold, the Lord Jesus Christ is the unspeakable gift of God. Salvation cannot be bought because it's free. It's free. Free. Justified freely by His grace. The Lord Jesus Christ is made to us. He's a water of life to the thirsty. He's the bread of life to the hungry, isn't he? He said, I am the bread of life. He's the wine of joy to the mourner. We rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me. Come to me. He's the milk of our strength. He's the milk of strength to the weak. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. And then he says here in verse 1, buy. And then he said, buy it and then eat it. Eat it, consume it, experience it. You remember Psalm 34? It said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see the Lord is good. Buy and eat. Buy and eat. Now, I want you to hold your place there and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Look at verse 51, John 6, 51. I am the living bread. He's the living water. He's the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, remember what we read over here? He said, come, buy, and eat. Eat. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I'll give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world, Jew and Gentile, bond and free. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Verse 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Look at verse 55, John 6, 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the Father, living Father, hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. We feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. We're consumed with Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Buy and eat, we consume Him. We experience and taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is gracious. He is our wine, our water, our milk that is free. Free. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is free to His people. Without money, without works, without morality, without anything that you bring at all. All things are provided freely, freely by His grace. Now, verse 2. Wherefore, or why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? Good works will never satisfy God. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, Let your soul delight itself in fatness. That is his fullness, his fatness. Now, two questions asked and answered by the Lord. Why? Why do you spend your money, your labor, your time, your energy, and your strength for that which is not bread, for that which does not satisfy, which is not salvation, that will not satisfy nor honor God, his law, or his justice, nor bring salvation by the deeds of the law? How many are going to be justified by the deeds of the law? None. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Why do sinners seek salvation by deeds, morality, works of righteousness, instead of resting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone? Why do so many people spend their time, money, and energy seeking salvation by what they do? I tell you why they do that. They're lost. They don't know God. They're dead in sin. And they're ignorant of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why people spin their wheels. Religious people, lost religious people, spin their wheels, and never get anywhere. Ignorant spin their wheels to go about to establish a righteousness of their own, but have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Why would they do that? They're ignorant. Let me read this to you in Romans 10. Remember, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He's talking about the religious lost Jews. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's essential righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is what? Christ. The gospel. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes the gospel. When you see people trying to earn God's favor or merit God's grace by what they do to gain his favor or to remove his wrath by good works and good deeds and church going and church giving and church ceremony, it's because they're ignorant. It's because they're lost. It's because they're dead in their sin. Now, what is a cure and remedy for ignorance? Is there one? Is there one, a cure for ignorance, deadness, and lostness? It's his word. It's his word. Eat that which is good. His word. Incline your ear and come, verse 3, and hear. And hear. Hear who? Hear him. Incline your ear and hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What is the cure and remedy for ignorance? His word. His truth. His word, his gospel. Hear his word. He says there, eat that which is good. You see it in verse 2? Eat that which is good. His word is good to feast upon. His word is a word of truth that exposes lies and errors. And let your soul delight itself in his fatness, his fullness. You see the last part of verse 2? Eat that which is good. Don't eat the briars of religion. Eat that which is good, the good bread, the good water. Christ is all goodness. And let your soul delight itself in his fullness. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Now look at verse 3. Here's what we need. His word. His word. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear. Oh, to have ears to hear the word of God. Not as the word of men, not as the word of Isaiah, but the word of God. Incline your ear and then come to me, the Lord said. Hear me, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. God, the God of covenant mercies. Covenant mercies. I think that word covenant is used more than 250 times in Scripture, if I remember right. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. Everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Again, the Lord tells us to hear the word of God. Is this asking too much of a guilty sinner to sit still, close his mouth, and listen to the word of God? Is that asking too much? Not at all, is it? Look what it says in verse 11, Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in a thing wherein I send it. Oh, how we'd prosper if we'd sit still and listen to the word of God. To hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, the Lord tells us to come, incline your ear, listen to me. Remember your parents when you were young, when they'd correct you, and one of the things they'd say to you, are you listening to me? Incline your ear, and then come. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear Him, and your soul shall live. Your soul shall live. Come to me. Our Lord said, come unto Him. The same thing He's saying over here. Look, turn over to Isaiah 45. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and don't move a muscle. He's not talking about a physical coming. He's talking about coming to Him by faith. By faith. Looking unto Him. Isaiah 45. He says, I am God. Beside me there is no other Savior. No other God beside me. Verse 21, the last part. Now, verse 22, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God and there is none else. Saving faith has one single object, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Incline your ear and come to me. True saving faith, the faith of God's elect, is delighted to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. To you who believe, He is precious. And then He gives us two promises here. And here, and your soul, verse 3, incline your ear, come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant. Now, two things. Here, as one must have physical life to hear the words of men, so too one must have spiritual life given of God to hear the eternal spiritual word of God. He that hath ears to hear, remember our Lord said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then He said to His disciples, blessed are your ears. Blessed are your eyes. Your ears, they hear, and your eyes, for they see. They see me. Our Lord said this in John 5. Let me read it to you. Verse 24, John 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, right now, got it, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There is power and life in the gospel. Spiritual life is given and granted through the means that God has ordained, and that's the word of life. The word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's the word of God that we preach. The Lord Jesus Christ is the living word, and the word of God incarnate. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. And then our Lord says, hear and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. And I love this word, sure mercies. Sure mercies. Sure mercies of David. Now, Turn to this scripture with me. You remember in our study in the book of Acts, turn to Acts 13. The Apostle Paul makes mention of this over here in his first sermon in Acts chapter 13. The sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David. You remember David said his last words, although it be not so with my house, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and is sure. This is all my hope and all my desire and all my salvation. The Apostle Paul here quotes this in Acts chapter 13, verse 29. When they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from a tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are witnesses unto his people. Who are his witnesses unto his people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise made, which was made to the fathers, hath God fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it's also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning, verse 34, that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he saith on this wise, I'll give you the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David. Based upon the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, delivered for our offenses, and raised again for our justification. I'll give you the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is a good shepherd who has never lost one of his covenant children. I will, God said, make an everlasting covenant with you. Remember, God said, I will and they shall. I will be their God and they shall be my people. I will not depart from them and they shall not depart from me. We're kept by the power of God. Sure mercies of David. God had made with me that everlasting covenant of grace. And it's a covenant of grace. All of grace. Grace alone. Now look at verse 4 and verse 5. We've got a couple minutes here. Behold, verse 4 said, I've given him. Boy, what a gift. We have the sure mercies of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ because God has given him. He gave him for a sacrifice for our sin. I've given him for a witness. He is that true prophet of God that came as the faithful witness as described in Revelation chapter 1. He's a faithful witness to the people, to the people. Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. He is a witness. He is a leader. The witness there is the prophet of God. God raised up a prophet from among the brethren to tell us the way of salvation. I've given him for a witness. Boy, what a true and faithful witness we have. And he's given to the people, for witness to the people. And he's a leader. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He's called the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. And he's a commander. He's a commander in chief, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's commander of all things. Without him, nothing comes to pass without his will, his decree, and his purpose. He's a commander of the people. He's a leader of the people. He's a prophet to the people. He's a commander of the people. Verse 5 says, Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knewest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God. And because he's the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified God. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Behold, thou shalt call. This is a personal call, a powerful call, an intimate call, an irresistible call. The foundation of God standeth sure, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Thou shalt call a nation out of every a people out of every kindred, tribe, nation, and tongue. They didn't know the Lord, but the Lord knew them. And they shall run, thy people shall be willing in the day of God's power. Run unto thee, run to Christ. Skedaddle to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the Lord thy God. He's the first cause and last end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. It's all because of the Lord thy God that we run to him, that we thirst after him. It's all because of the Lord thy God, because he's given us faith to believe in him. And he is the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. That's the bottom line. And all that God does is what? His glory. The grand design of redemption is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek the Lord while he may be found, verse 6. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and turn to the Lord. Return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. That reminds me of this verse over here. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, crying to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. He will abundantly pardon. For Christ's sake, we have pardon, forgiveness of sin.